Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we focus our attention on our gospel reading from Mark chapter 16, where we hear about that marvelous Easter morning when Christ was raised from the dead. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You may be seated. When the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. What a group of dedicated women this was. After all that had happened in the preceding days leading up to that Easter Sunday morning, and the fear that they must have felt about being a follower of Christ, here they were, very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Up early, having already procured those spices that they needed to anoint Jesus' body, the women traveled to the tomb. These women were busy. They had a lot to do. There was still mourning for their friend, their leader, and their Lord to be done. But before they could get on with all of that, they had a big task to take care of. And whether that task was to finish the job of preparing Jesus' body for burial, which had been cut short by the beginning of the Sabbath on Friday evening, or whether this anointing that Mark tells us about was a separate ritual that they were going to do, before they could do their job, there was a big rock that they had to deal with. A literal big rock that they had to deal with. The text calls it a big stone, actually. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" Mark Twain once famously said, "If it's your job to eat a frog, it's best to do it first thing in the morning. And if it's your job to eat two frogs, it's best to eat the biggest one first." Okay, maybe it wasn't actually Mark Twain who said that, but he is the one who is most often credited with that saying. And that quote has been turned now into a pretty memorable productivity method. Maybe you've heard about it. And really what it says, very simply, is that to get the most out of your day, to get as much done as you possibly can in a day, make sure you do the toughest and the least pleasant things first. If you've ever tried it, you could probably vouch for the fact that it works pretty well. Instead of sitting around worrying about that difficult thing that has to be done, you get it out of the way right up front very early in the morning, and then you can move on to all the other stuff that you have to do. Mary and Salome had a really big frog in front of them. Actually, it was a big stone, but you get the point. I'm guessing that they didn't subscribe to the eat the frog productivity method, but they did know that this was the biggest and the most important thing that they were going to have to accomplish on that day. And they set out to tackle it head on, first thing in the morning, even if they had no idea how they were going to get it done. It seems clear that they knew that even though there were three of them, the three of them, even together, were not going to be able to move this stone from the entrance to the tomb. Maybe they were aware that a Roman guard had been posted at the tomb, but it's highly unlikely that their plan was to ask those Roman guards to roll the stone away from them. Perhaps they thought that the disciples would already be there at the tomb, or maybe that they'd be coming soon and they'd ask them for some help. Whatever they were thinking, it all ended up not mattering at all anyway. As they approached the tomb and looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back and it was very large. Mark makes a very specific point about saying that this stone was big. It was huge. It was more than those women would have been able to take care of on their own. But it was already done. They didn't need to do it. It was taken care of for them. Matthew tells us that there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came back and rolled back the stone and sat on it. God did it for them. Those women didn't have to do any of that work for which they didn't have a plan. God does it. When there's something that we're incapable of doing, what a great reminder this is of the work that God does for us. He does it. It's the entirety of the Holy Week and the Easter message, all encapsulated in this one single verse. And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. When we have stones that are too big for us to roll back ourselves, God will take care of them for us. And we have plenty of stones in our lives. Obstacles, some of them of our own making, and others which are outside of our control, that cause us to sit back and wonder how we're ever going to make it through. That conversation that you know that you need to have, but you've been dreading. The job that you feel that you've been called to, but you're too afraid to go for it for fear of another rejection. That endless list of things that needs to get done, but just seems to get longer and longer every single day. For us, these are huge stones, and I know that there's a lot more in your lives as well. We might even be like those women on Easter morning, approaching them with no plan at all as to how they're going to get accomplished. Well, here's your plan. I'm going to give it to you right now. Let God take care of them. For us, they're boulders. They're insurmountable. They're enormous. But for Him, they're just grains of sand. Cast all of your burdens on Him, for He cares for you. Not only does He care for you, He's waiting to hear from you. But you're not going to find Him in the tomb. Remember what the woman encountered after they realized that that stone had been rolled away? Here's what the text tells us. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." You are not going to find your strength, your hope, in the place where dead people are laid. You're not going to find your Savior in that place. Just like those women didn't find Him there that morning. That's not where He resides. Because He's not dead. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And that's the assurance that we can rely on as those stones in our lives weigh us down, as they keep us from moving forward, as they cause us to take our eyes off of our Savior. That huge stone that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome were so worried about, that huge stone that God rolled out of the way for them, wasn't even the biggest stone that God took care of for them on that first Easter morning. Let's not forget that Jesus was dead. He was actually dead. His physical human body had stopped moving and breathing. His body, by all rights, should have been laying in that tomb on that Sunday morning. God sent the angel to roll the stone away, but the bigger stone that He removed on that morning for those women, and for you and for me, is the stone of death itself. Jesus wasn't the right one who rightfully should have been in that tomb. it should have been us. Because our sin carries with it the justifiable consequence of sin and of death. But we don't have to endure it. Because Christ took our place. He hung on the cross. He died. He paid that price that was rightfully ours. But he didn't stay dead. When God raised him from the tomb, brought him back to life, he rolled that stone of death away for all of us. And because he lives, we too shall live. There's a variation of that eat the frog quote that goes like this. If the first thing that you do each morning is to eat a live frog, you can go through the day with the satisfaction of knowing that this is probably the worst thing that's going to happen to you all day long. Maybe to sanitize it just a little bit, we might say, if you do the hardest thing first, everything else that you do is going to seem easy in comparison. But for us as Christians, this isn't about some productivity method. This is our lives. And too often we try and try to do the hard things only to fall woefully short. When what we really should be doing is to allow God to do the hard things for us. And then allow the rest of our lives to fall into place because of what He has already done. He did the work on the cross. He ate the frog, as it were, because we could not. We cannot do it. He suffered the pain of death so that we don't have to. And when we see it this way, everything else in our life can serve as a reflection of the incomparable work that He has done for us. Because He suffered on the cross and came out on the other side, risen and glorified, all the stones in our lives have been rolled away. Because He conquered death, we can say, along with Paul, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What wonderful words those are. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And knowing all of that, knowing what Christ has done for us, knowing the fact that the Father raised His Son from the dead, we can now hear those final words of the angel to Mary Magdalene and to Mary, the mother of James, and to Salome, as they were intended for them to be heard, as they were intended for us to hear them. The angel said, "But go, tell His disciples and Peter that He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him just as He told you." And then the text tells us that they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That first Easter Sunday morning was awesome. It was amazing and frightful and astonishing, certainly to those women. And although they fled and they said nothing to anyone in that moment, we know that Jesus' disciples didn't stay silent for long. If they had, we wouldn't know about that first Easter. We wouldn't know about all that Christ has done for us. We wouldn't be here this morning celebrating the resurrection. They told the story, and because they did, we know of Christ's incredible work on our behalf. We know of all of the stones that have been rolled away for us. But there are too many who still don't know yet. Too many for whom those stones continue to be a crushing weight. And they too deserve to know about our Savior's work. So even in your fear and trembling and astonishment at the work of your Savior, go and tell the story. Shout it from the mountaintop, because your Lord is alive. Your God is living and he is active. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.